She is such a blessing to all of us, and she really is one of the greatest examples of a New Testament Christian that I know of in every way, in all of her life. Praise God. So would you welcome Miss Margaret to the stage this morning? Praise God. I'm going to help you.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me get all situated. God is good. Amen. Did you enjoy those videos? Yes. I always love the mom song. I could hear it all the time. I tell you what, it's just so true. And we love it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And today, you know, they showed us also different mothers and women from the Bible. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at some women of the Bible, mothers, wives, women. We're going to see how important their part was in the plan and purposes of God and who needed them. You know, and that's the title of my message today is Who Needs You? Amen. And I believe that the Lord has laid some things on my heart to share with you. And so I'm looking forward to it. All right. So let's start. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Yay. Glory to God. Praise God. The first person we're going to look at is Elizabeth. Amen. Luke 1:5. Praise God. I love Elizabeth. The Bible says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And you know, I was reading this just, you know, a while back, and it just struck me so much, just this one scripture, at how personal it was. And it touched me. You know, he specifically said, you know, and he had a wife, and her name was Elizabeth. Say your name. Margaret. God knows you and who you are and your name, you know, and her name's right here in the Bible. That's important. And it's personal. And the Word of God is personal to us. And that blessed me. And then, praise God, I got to read the next verse. So let's go on to verse 6. And they were both, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments of God and ordinances of the Lord blameless. My goodness, what a testimony. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, the Bible gives us three things that gave Elizabeth value. They give us a clue to why God chose to use Elizabeth. They're things that God valued about this woman, about this couple. But three things that the Bible tells us about her is that she was righteous before God. She walked in her righteousness, in who she was in Christ. The most important, number one, most outstanding of all things in all your life for all time is to be born again, to become the righteousness of God in Christ, and then to walk in your rights and privileges and who you are in Christ Jesus. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, and then walk after him. Amen? The greatest thing, you know, she was the righteousness of God. Glory be to God, and she walked in that righteousness. The second thing it tells us about her is that she walked in all the commandments of the Lord. Okay, she was a word person. Glory. She was a doer of the word. God valued that. He valued that she was in right standing with him. He valued that she was a doer of the word of God and she walked in the commandments of God. We want to be a doer of the word of God and walk in his word. And in all his ordinances, she was blameless. And to me, the way I look at this is I feel like that means that she led a holy, separated life. She was not carnal, not carnal. You know, it is such a pleasure and a joy to be around people that aren't carnal. Isn't that wonderful? You don't leave going, ugh, you know. Praise God. It's great, you know. But she wasn't carnal. She lived a separated, a holy life. So I encourage us in these three things today to follow Elizabeth's example, to walk in our righteousness, to be doers of the word, and to live a separated, holy life. These things the Bible specifically mentioned, so they were important. Because everything the Bible says is important and has a purpose for being there. Amen? Okay, so this is, amazing, amazing. And you want those things said about you. All right, but let's read the next verse, verse 7. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. You know, that's like, oh, wow. She had all these things, but yet there was an issue. And so, you know, don't ever think because you're the righteousness of God and because you're a word person and because you live a separated life, that you're not going to have issues sometimes. Sometimes there's big issues. This was a huge issue. But it's how you deal with those issues in life that matter. It's how you deal with them. She was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while her husband, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom, and he was in doing his service and doing what God had called him to do, and the multitude were outside praying. And then in verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. I'm telling you, don't ever quit praying. Don't ever let go, and don't ever give up. And your wife, Elizabeth, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Hallelujah. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Well, did that not come to pass? Hallelujah. Amen. Elizabeth wasn't barren anymore. Glory to God. And, you know, they didn't give up. So, you know, the Lord spoke to Zacharias. He gave him this word. So, you know, who needed Elizabeth? Zacharias needed Elizabeth, didn't he? He needed that wife. He needed that kind of wife. Isaac needed Elizabeth. Because without Elizabeth, there was no Isaac. And, you know, and I mean, John the Baptist. Without Elizabeth, there was no John. I mean, John the Baptist, you know, it's just not any John. He needed Elizabeth. God needed Elizabeth to do her part, to be this kind of woman and to receive what he had for her to do. So who needs you? You know what? Your John needs you. Your somebody needs you. God needed her. Zacharias needed her. John needed her. All right, let's go down to verse 18. We're going to read a lot of this story because it's just so good. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? Well, how am I going to know? You know, this is never a question we should ask the Lord when he has given us his word. I mean, I know that's what the Bible says, but how am I going to know? Hallelujah. Not a good question, is it? No. We know because God sent his word. He gave us his written word so that we could know. And we stand on that word. And he sent this word to Zacharias by an angel, but he sent his word to us in written form. Amen. I like something that E.W. Kenyon said. He said, you know, its absoluteness, God's word, its absoluteness grips our heart. Does it not? The absolute solid foundation and rock of the Word of God grips your heart, and you can stand and you can know. How am I going to know that these things are going to happen? For I am old, and my wife well stricken in years. Verse 19. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Hallelujah. Well, it's important what you say. You know, we had to kind of stop Zechariah, not Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Because anyway, let's move on. But, you know, God gave us his word, and it's just as concrete. And, you know, just because Zacharias had an angel appear to him, you might think sometimes, you know, if Jesus would just appear to me, if something supernatural, something spectacular. Well, this was pretty spectacular, but it did not instill faith and cause him to believe. It didn't inspire him to take that word and stand on it. That's your choice. By faith, we take the solid rock of God's word and stand on it. You don't need anything else. You need the word of God. Hallelujah. And it's a sure foundation. And it said it shall be fulfilled in its season. In its season. In its own time. You know, there's seasons. We go through seasons. There's seasons with your children. There's infancy and toddler season and school age season and, you know, and teenage season, junior high season. You know, and adulthood, there's all these seasons. But you know what? God is faithful, and his word will be fulfilled in its season. And we can stand on it, and we can receive it. So let's go to verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, and she said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days whereon he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Hallelujah. And so, you know, that word dealt with means to do a thing unto. You know, she's saying, you know, God has done something. Hallelujah. You know, there's one day you're going to stand and say, God has done something to me. He's done it. And you're rejoicing. And it's a good day. Hallelujah. But you know, he said he took away her reproach. And I find this really interesting because evidently she felt something about this issue. Evidently it tried to bother her. Because if she said that, she said there was a reproach about it. That word literally means a taunt or a disgrace. It also has to do with your notoriety. So see, this thing that she dealt with and that she stood for and believed God and was praying, they were praying about. The Bible says they were praying about it. You know, this thing hadn't come to pass yet, and it tried to taunt her. Tried to taunt her. Is there something that tries to taunt you? Maybe something in your life. Maybe something about your children. Maybe you're that righteous person before God. You're walking in the commandments of God. You're living a holy, separated life. But there's some things about your children over here, and they try to get on you. They try to make you feel disgraced. They try to take that notoriety of who you are in Christ and that you're a person of the Word of God. God doesn't want that for you. Get rid of that. And stand on the word of God. Hold your head up high. Know who you are in Christ. And declare what God says about your children at every season of their life. Amen. Don't let anything disgrace you. That's not, God's not in that. Is God in that? No. And she made a point to say, he took that away. By faith, don't take that. Mm-mm. It's not God. All right, let's go on. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came, hallelujah, that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Oh, yeah, they're on board now, you know. It's okay. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so. He shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of your kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, you know, what he would have him call. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. Hallelujah. You know, there might be a name that the world tries to give to your child other than the name God has said. But you know what? As a mom, you stand up and you say, not so. Not so. His name is John. He's who God said he is. She's who God says she is. The things that God said about them, that's what's coming to pass. It's not what other people say. It's not what other people think. It's not what other people add up to say. Well, this and this, so, you know, this and this, so, you know, they're this. No, his name is John. He's a follower of God. He's an obedient to the things of God. They're a person of God. They're a student of the Word. They fulfill God's call on their life. His name is John. And don't let anybody give them any other name. Circumstances, people, they may want to say, he's a drug addict. Oh, you know, they're depressed. Oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. Some kind of label that the world might try to say. Oh, you know, they're not what they should. Oh, they don't measure. Oh, that. No. As a mom, you don't say any of those things. Do you say any of those things? Do you call them that? What do you call them? You call them what the Word of God says. You've got Scripture to stand on all through their life, and you put those Scriptures into practice. You put them, you activate them over your child, and you say what God says about them. You call them the name that God has given you for them. The things that God said about your child. That's who you call them. That's who you call them. Amen. Glory be to God. Say that. His name is John.
His name is John.
You know what you're saying when you're saying that? You're saying he's who God called him to be. That's who he is. That's what I believe, and that's what I'm going to have. Amen. You know, John means Jehovah is a gracious giver. Hallelujah. Jehovah, the redemptive name of our Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed. My child's redeemed. Hallelujah. And God is a gracious giver. Graciously, he gives. Hallelujah to my child. My child, his name is John. Don't you like that? Hallelujah. We're going to say about them what God says about them. Other names being called? No. 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 Glory be to God. Well, we're going to look at another lady. We're going to look briefly. We're going to go over to Hebrews 11:11. And we're going to look at Sarah. Hallelujah. Another one of our favorite Bible ladies, another one of our favorite wives, another one of our favorite moms. You know, the Hebrews chapter 11, you know, is called the Hall of Fame of the Bible by people because it starts out and tells us about faith. And it tells us that by faith this person, and by faith that person, and by faith this person, and by faith the other person. Man, you get inspired reading all that in there, you know? Because, you know, you read about these people, you know, they weren't all that within themselves. But by faith, they did great and mighty things, you know? Hallelujah. You know, and this chapter's still being written because our name's in that chapter. By faith, say your name. By faith, Margaret. By faith, we are doing the things of God in our lives. By faith, great and mighty things. Hallelujah. And Sarah, now it's talking about Abraham and all those things that Abraham did. And then verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hallelujah. We judge him faithful who has promised. We get those promises concerning our home, our families, our lives, our children, and we judge God faithful to do those things, to bring those things to pass, to see those things change that need to change, and to see the will and purposes of God played out. We judge him faithful concerning those things, and we do it by faith. Amen? She receives strength. Two things, strength to conceive a thing and strength all the way through to be delivered. You know, that's another part. It's not just conceiving. She was older, you know, and so, yeah, she conceived, but then she has to have the strength, the faith for these 9 months to stand and to believe God and to not get in fear and to trust God and to be delivered of a baby boy. You know what? I see a parallel in our lives. Maybe there's things that we've conceived from the Word, things that we've seen. But you know, we got this 9-month period to go through, however long that period of time is, till that thing is delivered. It might be your child, and you're praying over them, and you're standing over them, and they're yours. You know what? And you're standing all this time because you're going to come to the day where you see them delivered by faith. Amen. By faith, you receive the strength from the Lord. Hallelujah. And lay hold of those things and never let them go, because His name is John. Glory be to God. Isn't God good? All right. But you know something about Sarah? She had a moment. She laughed at the promise of God. Let's go to Genesis. Have you ever had a moment? Oh, yeah. Genesis 18. Hallelujah. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to drop down and go from there. But in Genesis 18, 1, the Lord, this wasn't Gabriel. Jesus appeared, it's talking about Abraham, appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Not that great Gabriel's not wonderful. Okay, so. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men stood by him. So Jesus comes and appears to Abraham. You know, and so Abraham says, Sarah, you know, let's get some food. And she prepares food. They minister to him. They feed him. And then it goes on down to verse 9, again, very personal. And Jesus says to Abraham, and they said unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? Where's Sarah? So, you know, Jesus appeared to Abraham, but who was he coming to see? I mean, who was he looking for? What was he there for? He's here to talk to Sarah. And he said, behold, she's in the house back there somewhere, you know. She's in the tent. And then Jesus said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. I'm telling you, there's a time, y'all. Amen. According to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now, I like Sarah for several reasons. But this is one of the reasons that I kind of like her, as every good wife would do when she looked out the door and saw Jesus talking to her husband. What did she do? Just listen at the door. What would you do if you looked out the window and Jesus was talking to your husband? I'd be listening at the door too. Oh, it's so funny. Anyway, Sarah heard it at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And, you know, but Sarah was also barren. So, you know, all this time, you know, they've had this promise, and they were hoping, you know, that season, even the time has passed. And so now, you know, it looks pretty bad. And so it ceased to be with her after the manner of women. And so when she heard this, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Like, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My husband being old also? I mean, this is like incredulous to her. It's like, And the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And he said, of the surety, surely, she said, shall I surely bear a child, which am old? Why did she laugh? He asked that question. And then he told why he asked that question. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? What a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, when Peter was walking on the water, Jesus reached out and said, we're, ye have little faith. You know, why did you doubt? You know, this is kind of incredulous to Jesus. Why would you laugh? Why would you doubt? I mean, honestly, is anything too hard for God? So why would you doubt? Why would you doubt? And he said to her, is anything too hard for God? At the time appointed, I mean, don't quit. I will return to you, and according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. I love this next part. And then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. No, I didn't laugh. For she was afraid. Oh, my. Fear. She was afraid. And he said, no. Jesus looked at her and said, no, but you did laugh. And, you know, I don't think Jesus was being a smart aleck. You know, no, you laugh. I don't think he was judging her. He wasn't condemning her. You know what? Jesus pinpoints us. No, you did laugh. Right there, Sarah. Right there. He pinpoints us not to condemn us, but to help us get where we need to be. Amen. She needed to be out of fear and into faith. And you know what? Jesus came to her to see her that day for this very purpose. Amen. And Jesus, through his word, comes to see you for a purpose. And he'll shine something right. I mean, he'll touch something. Something way down in you. Something you might not even known was there. But Jesus can touch it and say, right there, let's fix that, and you'll be in faith. Hallelujah. Let the word of God touch things in your life. Get out of fear and get in faith. Glory be. Oh, isn't God good? I mean, he made a special trip just to touch right there so she could believe God and fulfill her purpose. She went from laughing, denying, to faith. Hallelujah. She went from fear to faith. Glory to God. She went from barren to strength to conceive and deliver a baby. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us she did it by faith. Hallelujah. Well, if she could do it by faith, guess what? We can do it by faith. We can lay hold of the promise that God has said to us. And we can, by faith, get out of fear in every area. And we can stand in faith. And we can receive the promises of God for our children. Amen. And have them delivered in any area they need to be delivered and set free. Who needed Sarah? Well, Abraham needed Sarah. Isaac, this time Isaac, needed Sarah. I mean, Isaac. Without Isaac, there's no Jesus. So, you know, Jesus is on the scene like, look, Sarah, I got a lot to do here. You got to have this baby. I need him. I got to come as a baby, and I need him. God needs you, and he needs you to be faithful and to stand. Amen? And to do what you need to do. Isaac, you know what Isaac means, right? Means he laughs. Laughter. Ha ha. So, you know, from her laughing, she went to having a bouncing, laughing baby boy. Isn't that good? That's a better laughter, isn't it? So we could say that Isaac got the last laugh. Hallelujah. It's a good laugh because God is on our side. Amen. Somebody needs you. They need you to be who you are. They need you to speak over them. They need you to say the things that the Word of God says over them. There's enough people saying other stuff out there, but not you. Not you. Amen? All right, we're going to look at somebody else. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I really like this one. Hallelujah. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's writing this letter to Timothy, of course, to us, but to Timothy. And he's talking to him and encouraging him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, when I call to the remembrance the unfeigned faith, boy, we're talking about the real genuine faith here, the unfeigned faith that is in you and dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Hallelujah. I mean, what a wonderful thing to say. You know what? as a mom, as a grandmom, you know, as a woman of God, we want to instill that faith into our children. And it needs to go and continue down and down and down. Instill faith into your children. Who needs you? Your Timothys need you. They need you to instill that faith into them and give your children a heritage of faith, a heritage of faith. Glory be to God. And when it's in there, it's in there. Put faith in there. All their life, we're putting faith in there. We're instilling faith in them. And it's not going to return void. Amen. You can look at them all through their life and say, nope, I know what's in there. I know what's in there. I know what I put in there. I know what's in them. Faith is in them. Faith is in them. And they're going to do all that God's called them to do. His name is John. Hallelujah. And I'm going to laugh about it because they have a plan and a purpose, and I'm standing, and I'm conceiving, and I'm going to get it all the way to delivered, and they're going to serve God. Hallelujah. And that's what I say about my kids. Amen. And I'm instilled that faith in them, and it's not going anywhere. It's right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And every chance we get, we're sticking that faith in there, and instilling that faith in there. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you're with your mom today, you know, before you get too full of yourself, just look at her and say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. I mean, seriously, you know? Yeah. Look where you are. But you know what? Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Amen. They put something good in you. And we're thankful for it. Now, I think it's interesting, the faith that was in his mom, in his grandmom. And, you know, Paul says, he uses the term, I am persuaded that it's in you too. Now, isn't that interesting? Why would he have to say, I'm persuaded that it's in you? He didn't say, I see it in you. He said, I'm persuaded it's in there. You ever looked at your kids and thought, I'm persuaded that it's in there? Why? Why did he say this? Because, you know, evidently he wasn't seeing it right then. He wasn't seeing it. What was he seeing? Evidently, in verse 7, it said, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Evidently, he was seeing things that, you know, weren't of power. He was seeing things that might have been fear-based. He was seeing things that didn't show sound thinking. Do you ever see that in your children? Things that don't show sound-mindedness. You're not thinking right. You know, maybe there's some fear. Maybe there's something not right. Maybe your thinking is off. Maybe you're not thinking in line. Maybe you're not walking in line with the Word. Maybe you're not receiving the love that God has for you. Maybe you're not walking that way right now. But I'm persuaded it's in there. Say, it's in there. It's in there. You put it in there. So many of us, you know, so many of you put it in there. Amen. And you stay persuaded that it's in there. I stay persuaded to see all of the gifts of God come to pass in my children's lives, in your family's life, all that God has placed in them, all that God has called them to, the giftings that God has given them. I'm persuaded it's in there, and I'm going to see it. Paul goes back to the fact that faith was instilled in Timothy as a child. He went back to that. That was important. What you've done and what you're doing is important. And the Bible goes back to that. It goes back to that faith. And, you know, Paul had a solution of what to do when you're not seeing it. In verse 6, he says, I put you in remembrance. Put yourself in remembrance of what's in there. I put yourself in remembrance and that you stir up the gift of God which was in you by the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God. So when I'm speaking over my children, over the things that concern me, over my life, hallelujah, and I'm not seeing what I want to see, but I'm persuaded and God is faithful and I'm receiving those things by faith, then I'm going to stir up those things. I'm going to speak words over them that stir up the things of God. I stir up the gifts and callings of God that are in you. I stir up the faith that is in you. I stir it up. I stir it up. I stir it up. I stir up the love of God that's in you. I stir up that sound mind that's yours in Christ Jesus. I stir up the fact that you're free, that you're delivered, that you're made whole, that you're who God says you are. I stir those things up in you. Say, I stir it up. I stir it up in my children. I stir up the gifts and callings of God. I'm telling you what, I don't ever let go. Do you ever let go? Do you ever stop? Do you ever look back? Do you by faith receive? Yes, yes, yes. I know that the choice is ultimately up to them, but you know what? Along the way, we're going to open all the avenues for the Spirit of God to flow through. We're going to throw open all the doors and all the windows. And we're going to fill every crack and every crevice with faith, with the life of God and the love of God and the Word of God. And we're going to speak what God says. And we're going to say, no, His name is John. By faith. And we're going to receive. Hallelujah. God is moving. God is moving. I believe, say this, I believe they see what they need to see. I believe they hear what they need to hear. I give full access to the Spirit of God to move in their life. And I shut the door on the enemy. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, that's being a woman of faith. That's being a parent of faith. That's being, glory to God, by faith, the person who receives. Amen. Glory to God. And just like Moses, I don't care if they're on the backside of the desert. Hallelujah. One day they'll be walking along and there'll be a burning bush and they'll turn aside to look at it and they'll fall on their face and serve God. That's what I believe. Amen. They're going to fulfill their destiny. They're not going to get sidetracked, get off. No, they're going to come back to walking with God. And they're going to do the things that God's placed in their heart. And the faith that's been instilled in them, it'll be stirred up. And they're going to walk with God. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. Amen. So we're going to be in Elizabeth. We're going to walk as the righteousness of God. Stand on our rights and privileges of who we are in Christ Jesus. We're going to be a doer of the word. We're going to live a separated life. We're going to be an Elizabeth. We're going to be a Sarah. And we're going to obtain by faith the promises of God. And we're going to go from fear to faith. I'm going to be a Sarah. I'm going to be a Lois and a Eunice. And we're going to instill faith into our children and our grandchildren and the children around us and others around us. We're going to instill faith into them and be persuaded concerning them. Amen. That's who we're going to be. We're going to be like Elizabeth. We're going to be like Sarah. We're going to be like Eunice and Lois. Because somebody needs you. And your part's important. And they need you to play your part. Amen. I want to read you some things as we wind up this morning. Because it's important. Faith is important. I want to read you something from Smith Wigglesworth. Then I want to read you something from Gloria Copeland. And I want to read you something from E.W. Kenyon. This is written in 1917 by Smith Wigglesworth. So, you know, it's just not some passing doctrine. It's not just some fad or phase. is the Word of God. And his title is The Way to Overcome, Believe. Believe. It's based on 1 John 5. But he says the greatest weakness in the world is unbelief. The greatest power is the faith that works by love. Love, mercy, and grace bind faith. I like that. I mean, you can have all the love in the world, but if you don't put faith in there with it, it's not going to bind together. Love, mercy, and grace bind faith. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have love, faith's not going to stick. Bound together. There is no fear in love and no question as to being caught up when Jesus comes. The world is filled with fear, torment, remorse, and brokenness. Not my child. Say, not my child. Not my child. But faith and love are sure to overcome. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. God has established the earth and humanity on the lines of faith. And as you come into line, fear is cast out, the Word of God comes into operation, and you find bedrock. Hallelujah. You find that solid rock to stand on. Glory to God. The rock of ages, the cornerstone, and the sure foundation that you can dig down and build your house on the rock. And when the storms of life come, it's not going to blow down. Hallelujah. I've been in some storms of life where I thought, geez, looks like it's going to blow down. But I remember, nope, I've built my house on the rock, and it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's going to stand. Hallelujah. No wavering. This is the principle. He who believes is definite. And because Jesus is in it, it will come to pass. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So put in your claim for your children, your families, your co-workers, and that many sons may be brought to glory. For it is all on the principle of faith. And there's nothing in my life or ambition equal to my salvation, a spiritual revelation from heaven according to the power of God. And it does not matter how many flashlights Satan sends through the human mind. Roll it all on the blood. Who overcomes? He who believes. Glory to God. And you know what? If you're not a believer, then you can be one. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want this kind of life. I want this kind of victory. I want the truth of God's word. I want to be what I see in your word. I want that life. Jesus, come into my heart. I take you as my Lord and my Savior. Save me, Lord. Deliver me and make me whole. I believe that you do right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. You're a born-again Christian. Righteousness of God with all the rights and privileges in this word right here. Amen. From Gloria Copeland. This is from her book, Walking in the Fruit of the Spirit, new book. It is a wonderful book. I love this book. I encourage you to get it. But she said that the Lord told her once, if you allow Satan to stop you with strife at your front door, you'll be no threat to him anywhere else. So you know what? If we're going to talk about faith, we're going to talk about staying out of fear, we got to say something about strife. If you allow Satan to stop you at your front door, at your house, then you're not going to be a threat to him anywhere else. As most everyone knows, she says, the easiest place in the world to give in to selfishness is at home. Unlike out in public where people will judge us or even reject us if we act too ugly, at home there aren't many natural barriers to restrain us. We aren't concerned about what other people think of us there. We're not trying to be nice to maintain our reputation. We know our family has to put up with us, so we tend to feel a little freer to give in to the flesh and act as though what we do at home doesn't really count. Isn't that terrible? I mean, Mike can say amen, but we might have to say oh me. Because, you know, we all do that sometimes, and it's terrible, huh? But in reality, however, what we do at home counts a great deal. The people there are the nearest and dearest to us. Our relationships with them make all the difference. Keeping strife out of your home will also benefit your children, because for better or worse, you're always setting patterns for them. They naturally tend to reproduce what they see in you. And when they grow up, their home will probably be much like yours. Man, we want to have that faith example in our home. Whether you live for God or you live for the devil, you're leaving an inheritance for your children and your grandchildren. So give them a heritage of love. Give them a place of peace. Give them a place of well-being. And I read all of this to give you this one sentence. Teach them to treat strife as an enemy and to live in harmony and love at home. Teach your children. Treat strife as an enemy. Live in love and harmony at home. Glory be to God. And then E.W. Kenyon. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And we're going to talk about love. Be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children or children of love. What would we do if we imitated God? We would love. Until we love as he loves, we do not represent him. He never answered back. He never said unkind things. He never criticized. He never peddled scandal. He spoke love words. He helped men and women. He said beautiful things. This walking in love is the most beautiful thing in the world. God is love. We are born of love. Love is the rule and law of our life. Love is the strength of our life. Love is the very beauty of our life. We are walking as he walked. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. We are living in love. We have come to believe in love. I like that statement because, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, and Pastor Mark teaches on love all the time, and I'm so glad. Aren't you glad? Because, you know, faith comes by hearing. And after a while, you're hearing about love and hearing about love and hearing about love. And it builds faith in your heart. And you know what? You actually begin to believe in love. Sometimes when you tell people to do what would love do, they say, well, you know, I know, but, you know, I don't think I can't do that, because if I do that, I'm going to lose out somehow. But you know why? Because they don't believe in love. But we believe in love. We're coming to believe in love. So teach on it, preach on it, say it all the time, because we need to believe in love. We're not just trying then to walk in love. We actually believe in love, and we act on it because we believe in it. We know that he is love. We know that love is abiding in us, and we know that we are abiding in him. We're finding ourselves complete in him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him you are made full, who is the head of all principality and power. This is how we appear to our Father. This is the way love sees us, even as it saw him. It sees us as new creations, new love creations, ruled by love and living in love and letting love live in us. All this is possible, and all this is ours. Glory to God. Be a person of faith. Instill faith into others. And remember, faith works by love. Believe in love. Amen. Be all that God's called you to be. Do all that he's called you to do. And go home to glory and see your name written in Hebrews 11:11. By faith. Say your name. By faith. Amen. My sister was going through some things of her son's, and she told me she found something he wrote when he was a little boy. He went home to be with the Lord, age 35. He's in glory. And she found this paper that he had written as a school assignment or Sunday school thing, probably Mother's Day. And it says, I love my mom because... And he had written, I love my mom because She told me about Jesus. She told me about Jesus. Let's tell him about Jesus. Amen. Let's tell him about Jesus. And never, ever, ever, ever let go of it. Amen. They'll do all God's called them to do. They'll be all God's called them to be. And we'll be that laughing mom that rejoices. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, my mom. Thank you, Mom. God bless you today. Happy Mother's Day. Go encouraged, filled, and full of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for your almighty word, Father, that you have sent us. And it's strong and it's true and it's solid and it grips our heart and it's absolute. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, Father. And we rejoice, and it's an honor to follow you and to walk with you and to be women of the Word, women of God, children of God. We bless you, we thank you, and we receive your help, your strength, and your goodness today. And we give you glory, and we are encouraged, Lord. We are encouraged. Thank you that you have encouraged us today, and we stand boldly and rejoice and look forward to the day that we're all in glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We love you. God bless you. Amen. See you Wednesday. Have a great day. You're dismissed.